Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Ah, this is Debbie Bruck calling from the Liga in California. I'm the founder of Homeopathy World Community, and Vera Resnick will be speaking with me today on Who's Reading the Organon. I wanted to do our usual little Twitter motivational quotes that kind of uplift us and get us going. One of the ones that I read today, Mother Teresa said, if you judge people, you have no time to love them. Kind of let that seep into your thoughts. And there's another one from Catherine Pulsifer from Focus, and it says, once you decide what it is you want, set your sights and start taking action to achieve it. This action is the commitment on your part. And once you are committed to a goal, really committed, problems are short term. I guess that helps us overcome any kind of difficulties in our path. I don't know how it will apply to our aphorisms today. And then there's another one by Amanda that says, never take a person for granted. Hold every person close to your heart. Because you might wake up one day and realize that you've lost a diamond while you were too busy collecting stones. So I think there's quite a bit today is motivational about the importance of people in your life and taking action on a goal that you really are committed to. So no matter what it is, keep at it, and you will overcome. For homeopaths, we have a lot of adversity today, and we can overcome that and know that all of the people in our community are committed to the same goal, and we're working in unison to accomplish that task. All of us working together can make it happen, especially in these times. I think the internet has made the world so much smaller. Let's see. We have on the internet, on HWC, Dr. Gary Weaver has been very, very active posting his case quizzes and giving us a run for our money to find the answers and using your rubrics and Bunninghausen and other people have been using Kent repertories to find the answer to these quizzes. And he's also put up a brand new blog called Knowing Your Rubrics. And that's under the Homeopathy Study Guide section. Dr. Amar Sinha Nikam has put up a little short on the world's first film video on homeopathy. It's an actual movie playing in India about his life. It's called Pratisad. I don't know if I've... you can hear the music in the background. I don't know whether I've pronounced the name of it correctly. And it's in a different language. Let's see. I've written on the website that I understood that the motivation for him to produce his movie, and the purpose was creating the first all homeopathy movie and to show that it is scientific and to show the world what homeopaths do. And Pratisad means the response in Marathi. It's a form of, it's the language that's used. So I hope that people will be able to see it, and it will be in translation. So all around the world we can view his video, his movie. Well, I can say a couple of words about the Liga. It's the official name, Liga Medicorum Homeopathica Internationalis, and it is an international homeopathic medical society established in Rotterdam on September 10th, 1925, under the terms of the Swiss civil law stipulating Geneva as its registered office. And this year, having the Congress hosted in California, in Los Angeles, it's the 65th Congress, and the theme is Odyssey, which comes from the homeopathic, from Space Odyssey 2001, and which was also redone in 2010. It draws from the famous epic poem of Homer, in the sense that the Odyssey, that Odysseus must undergo many trials and tribulations in order to obtain his triumph. And it is the same with homeopathy. There are few sciences that have had to endure such tremendous ordeals as homeopathic medicine. However, there is another reason that the theme was chosen, and which centers more on the place where the Congress is in California, Redondo Beach in Los Angeles. It is the international home of the movie entertainment. So as I said, there was the famous 2001 Space Odyssey and the sequel in 2010. The sub-theme is that of celebrating the 200th anniversary of the Organon of Medicine written by Samuel Hahnemann. So that kind of leads us straight into our study of the Organon today. There have been nonstop, fantastic presentations, many things to choose from, a lot of topics talking about the Organon, its history and its future, what will happen to it and how we will use it. Wonderful speakers from around the world, and I encourage people to just take a look at the website and see what has been going on and maybe plan for attending next year's Liga in India. Take it away, Rira. We're going to start in with our Organon.
Well, Aslan, we're relating again this week, this session, to aphorism 259 and 260, where Hahnemann says, if you want the remedy to work, your patient has to change his lifestyle. And he has to change his way of eating, and he has to change his way of living. Of course, he, she, same thing here. And I find myself turning this over and over and over in my mind and thinking that if Hahnemann were alive today, would he have told us all just to go inside a bubble? Because the limitations, let's go over the footnotes, which give so many of the limitations. I'll just read them, Debbie, to remind us of these many, many things, many, many restraints that Hahnemann places on the patient. He says the list of things, right, starts with coffee, fine Chinese and other herb teas, beer prepared with medicinal vegetable substances unsuitable for the patient's state, so-called fine liqueurs made with medicinal spices, all kinds of punch, spiced chocolate, odorous waters and perfumes of many kinds, strong-scented flowers in the apartment, tooth powders and essences and perfumed sachets compounded of drugs, highly spiced dishes and sauces, spiced cakes and ices, crude medicinal vegetables for soup, dishes of herbs, roots, stalks, or plants possessing medicinal qualities. That means anything with flavoring, with thyme or marjoram or any herbs, ginger, cumin, turmeric. All of these have medicinal qualities, so they would be out. Asparagus with long green tips, hops, and all vegetables possessing medicinal properties, celery, onions, old cheese, and meats that are in a state of decomposition. I'm not sure if there's a delicacy made of meat like that, or that possess medicinal properties. Even just there and say, are we supposed to not enjoy anything interesting in this world in order to lead a healthy life? What do you think, Debbie?
I really think that what he's saying is use moderation. I don't feel as if he's saying to eliminate everything. I think that these are things that people can actually enjoy. But if a person is sensitive to certain things, then you don't want to exacerbate their problem or aggravate their situation. And in that case, I don't feel like he's telling us not to enjoy life and all of the things that we have to offer. I feel as if maybe certain individuals have to stay clear of something if they are sensitive to them. That's kind of, if I go to jump to the end of this aphorism, it says, some of my imitators unnecessarily make the patient's regime even harder and forbid many more rather unimportant things, which is not to be condoned. So, the sentence before that, all these things must be eliminated or else avoided as much as possible if cure is not to be prevented or impeded. So, I don't feel as if he means that in the way of cut it out of your life completely. I really feel as if having a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or a piece of chocolate is not going to do detriment to an individual. Do you have a different take on that?
Well, my take on it is like yours, my personal take. But Hanuman comes across here as being very extreme when he says all these things, including reading in bed, favorite occupation, all these things must be, as far as possible, avoided or removed.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as possible, all these things removed as far as possible. And I'll just read quickly aphorism 261, where he says how one should be. He says, the most appropriate regimen during the employment of medicine in chronic diseases consists in the removal of such obstacles to recovery and in supplying, where necessary, the reverse. Innocent moral and intellectual recreation, active exercise in the open air in almost all kinds of weather, daily walks, light manual labor, suitable, nutritious, unmedicinal food and drink, etc. It sounds like growing up in England.
It sounds like what?
Growing up in England, you expect to go for walks in the pouring rain.
Uh-huh.
The food is boring.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, I'm not familiar with England. I don't know. But I think that he was saying that these are medicinal substances. You know, these and when a person takes too much of one thing, then it could affect them. So if I had celery soup three times a day, then the celery was going to make an impact on my being.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, but if you have it every so often, then I don't feel. I mean, if I pack a lunch for my kids of stalks of celery with some peanut butter on it, I don't see any harm in that. Or if I like to, and I really do like to have parsley, I don't see any any detriment to me, to myself, in taking it. So I guess I'm taking it very personally.
I wonder what would happen if we bring Hanuman into the 21st century, into the world of computers and cell phones.
Right. I think he would be spinning. He wouldn't know what to make of it, or I'm sure he would figure out something.
Because then also there's the other side of it, which is how we know that the remedies are small amounts. And I feel part of what's coming through here in the way Hanuman talks about it, when he talks about how the medicine is so minute. Talks about the minuteness of the dose, being the reason why you have to be so careful with diet and regimen, he's in a way contradicting himself. Because I think it's the traditional scientist in him coming out, having difficulty with his own method, because he has talked about how you can strengthen something through dilution and succussion.
Yeah.
And when he describes the remedies, and also we've experienced with remedies, that the minuteness of the dose is not an issue. So,
can you clarify this? Clarify it a little bit more for me. The contradiction is the fact that the minuteness of the dose can make such a huge impact, and he's telling us.
Let me clarify what I mean. Anyone who has used homeopathy, especially in acutes, can witness that a tiny amount of a substance is like a powerhouse. It comes at the acute and it swallows it up and spits it out within a very short time. Right? It's something that looks very small but is very strong.
Okay.
Have you experienced that? Are you familiar with that?
Yes, we've talked about that.
Anyone who's just seen arnica in action, that's enough to demonstrate it. So we've seen the power of the remedy and the strength of the remedy.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about potency here. And we know that the remedies are highly dilute substances. And we know that according to traditional laws of probably physics, I'm talking here, would say that these substances are so dilute that it's not possible that they have any power to them. And we know that somehow the process of dilution and succussion releases a power in the substance that no one ever dreamt was there. Hanuman did dream it.
Yes.
So we have a highly dilute.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so we have a highly dilute substance that is very powerful. It's strong. And now, in a way, it feels like Hanuman is backtracking and saying, it's very powerful, it's very strong, but it's like the thin melody of a flute and can be easily drowned out. So there's a certain degree of confusion here. And I know when I've tried to antidote a remedy that I felt was going in the wrong direction, it was almost impossible to antidote. It was working mm-hmm. extremely powerful in the patient. So
yeah.
I feel that there's a certain degree of confusion here in these aphorisms and also in the approach. Because you must have seen there are people who their connection with the remedy is so strong that they could be doing everything wrong in their lives, but that remedy will carry on working.
Right. Okay. So the contradiction is if he is on target and he has found a similimum, something that's going to resonate with the individual to establish balance, stabilize them, clear whatever is the disorder, that no matter what they did in their life, it would still work. But the mm-hmm. problem is maintaining the causes would then they would have to keep repeating their remedy, because the maintaining cause would mean they would still be in the situation, which would put them back into the state of disorder. So
you're going back into obstacle to cure, to seeing this.
I think so.
This obstacle to cure.
Right. Because
I think possibly what we need to do when we're examining if a well-chosen remedy didn't work is to go into this list, maybe.
Uh-huh.
To discuss it with the patient.
I think that they would most likely bring it up naturally in the consultation to things that they have an affinity to taking, their diet, their seasonal response, just the modalities, generalities, all of those things I think they would normally speak about to the homeopath in the consultation, so you would know it. I don't know that you have to go through a list and say, you know,
you go through a list in your head. I don't like going through checklists with patients that much. But I like having some kind of checklist in my mind when I'm sitting with a patient or next stuck to my computer.
There is something that people do when they find that they have allergies, and they do an elimination diet where they take everything away and then they slowly, one by one, add one of the new foods that they would normally eat. And then when they have a response, a reaction, they can determine that is the offending item. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, it's kind of an elimination diet. And then, you know, people can't keep to that so strictly. They're eventually going to add something in, and then they're going to feel in themselves a change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you absolutely did none of this stuff, you would be living almost in a vacuum. And and you wouldn't have any imposition of something, an exterior cause to feeling ill. And then when you add something, you could see if you're sensitive to it. What do you think of that?
I think it's definitely a way to go. I also think I'm going to put up a discussion on the HWC board about why reading in bed could be bad for you. I'm interested in that one.
Oh,
I'm not sure
I
if it's just because the book could fall in your eye. I think
that
all
is
of
a good question.
Lots of thought. Sorry?
I love that one, because how many people don't read in bed? How many people do read in bed? Just about everybody, huh?
Mm-hmm. Now we know what's been destroying the generations.
I don't think that's the thing. Maybe video games and too much chocolate. And, you know, when you think about the things that he's listed, those are things that people do overindulge in. Years ago, I don't know, 100 years ago, how many pounds of sugar did an American eat? Maybe 3 at the maximum, right? And I don't have the statistics in front of my head, but I'm sure that it's up there. 17 pounds of sugar is consumed by an American each year. And this is just overindulgence. And the same thing, if you're not having the sugar, you're having the salt. If you're not having that, you're having alcohol. You're having chocolate. So it's an ice cream and all these different things. So I think it's just going overboard. With those are external things. And he also puts in anger and grief and vexation. And what do we learn?
Yeah.
We learn in the scientific journals today say that the anger can cause heart disease. Anger can cause, I don't know whether it's diabetes, but there's
I think certain, so stress can cause it.
Yeah, and so he was way ahead of us, generations ahead, to know that our emotions really affected our pathology. And look, he has overindulgence in games. And so that is a big thing today for kids to be. There's a blog that I put up on HWC about addiction to video games. So he knew it all way back when. And we're just learning more about it in our scientific fields, in our medical fields, in our daily life, how it affects us, how we are able to function at school and at home because of all of these things. And he's just putting it out there for us.
Anyway, Debbie, by my count, we have just under a minute left.
Oh, okay. I don't know whether we covered all the points that you wanted to make.
These are points that will never be covered. This is ongoing debate, and that's the way it has to be. As we learn more, as we understand more, as we think about it again and again, and as we grow through it, that's how I see it.
Okay. Well, if you have any umbrella idea...
Any umbrella.
I don't know if we did one last time,
there's a Jewish saying which may or may not land up in this recording, about how you should sanctify yourself with that which you are permitted. The idea being that the world is here for our enjoyment, and we should sanctify ourselves through the good things that we have been given.
Yes, which means partake of everything, but in a positive way?
In a positive way, in a respectful way,
mm-hmm.
in a way that gives honor to the thing that you are enjoying and to yourself as the person enjoying it, and that gives
all
honor to
good.
The creator of these things, if this is how you see them, how you see life.
Discern what is good for you and do it all for the good, and if you find that there's a negative effect, then it's not being sanctified. So,
something like that. I mean, like Hanuman talks about our holy indwelling reason.
Well, thank you for that beautiful ending today, completing the circle with sanctification. And we'll see you the next time.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.